And we'll read some of these verses here in Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 10. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth. For in any nation, and all the people among which thou art, shalt see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous god, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice." We're going to cover the next half of this. This is very important. You see that, make no covenant with the world? That's going to be the next sermon, but listen to this. And thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, in Exodus 23:32, nor with their gods. If somebody can give me some water back there, somebody grab me some. I haven't had any water yet, and after the first message, my throat's starting to get really dry. Thank you. Appreciate that. This covenant of, what is a covenant? Well, there's the covenant of redemption. It's the mutual agreement between the Father and the Son respecting the redemption of sinners by Christ. That's what we're under now. The covenant of grace is what we're under, is that by which God engages to bestow salvation on man upon the condition that that man shall believe in Christ and yield obedience to the terms of the gospel. So he comes in repentance and faith and believes the gospel. Then we are under grace. However, the one thing we must understand is that God made a covenant with them and with us. He's made a covenant with Israel, and he made a covenant with us. We'll look at both of those. Look at a lot of scripture here today and then in this message. So it might go quicker. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 22. "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels." Wow. Think about that. The innumerable company of angels. You know, this is a side note, and this is where I get myself in trouble. So I gotta shoot the rabbit and get back on the road. But I've been doing a little bit of studying on angel wars and things like that, and just different. Boy, that's a neat study. There's so much there that we don't understand about even when we go out and preach in the open air. And it just everything. It's just exciting. Got a good stuff. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 23. "To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Huh. Here's our covenant. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant." Amen. "And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." You know what the theme of Hebrews is? Christ better than all. That's the theme of Hebrews. Read it all the way from the beginning to the end. Christ better than all. That's the theme. He's above all. Christ better than all. The whole theme of Hebrews, go through it. Christ better than Noah. Christ better than Moses. Christ better than Abraham. Christ better than the law. Christ better than all. Better than the angels. Christ better than all. That's the theme. Amen. Makes sense, though, when you're teaching Hebrews, doesn't it? Amen. Makes sense. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Then we go, so that's the new covenant, Jesus Christ. The blood covenant that Jesus Christ made. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12. "That at that time you were without Christ." He's speaking of the old covenant. Watch this. He says, and at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, by the blood of Christ. Watch this. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Hey, remember that enmity we talked about? That carnal mind that's enmity, an enemy of God? Walking dead men, remember that? They're also called aliens. Hey, look at that. Zombies and aliens. There's the rest of your message, Brother Russ. Zombies and aliens. There's his next street preaching message right there. He already said he was going to do, hey, you're a bunch of zombies, so now he's going to add aliens. Amen. In his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. There's that household of God. What's that? Believers from the Old Testament, believers in the New Testament. That's the whole house. Yeah, some people don't like that. That's the family of God. Amen. That's not the church. They weren't the church. Amen. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 2:16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There's that enmity being slain again. Jesus, the mediator of the covenant, we are reconciled through Christ. We are forgiven of our sins through Christ. See, their covenant was not our covenant. Their covenant was one of works. Their covenant was one of obeying God. Now, that doesn't mean they were saved by their works, because what were they saved by? Well, ultimately, in where were they? Where were they waiting for the redemption? They didn't go to heaven when they died. You understand that, right? They went to Abraham's bosom. What were they waiting for? Christ. See, it's all by Christ. It's just the mechanics were a little bit different. Do you understand that? I'm not preaching you another gospel. I'm telling you that their mechanics were different. So when dispensationalists say that, they're not lying to you, okay? They're not lying to you when they say that. Some explain it better than others. I'll put it that way, okay? But the mechanics might have been a little different, what God expected from them, blood sacrifice, everything else. They had to do those things. But we're going to talk about the blood of goats. Amen? We're going to talk about that. But their covenant was not our covenant. They were waiting. We already have it. Amen? What happened? Where did he have to go? He had to lead captivity captive. He had to sprinkle the blood. They still had to wait for Christ to come down there. He had to go down there. He went through to hell. And I believe he suffered there. I believe Isaiah 53 proves that, by the way. I believe he suffered in hell for me because that's the only thing that would please God. That is tasting death for every man. Amen? Right there. Anyway. So he went down there, and what did he do? Then he led captivity captive. He said, okay, I'm here. I'm what you've been waiting for. Yep, hell hath enlarged itself. I'm here. I'm what you were waiting for. Amen? Abraham looked forward to see my day. And he rejoiced. Amen? So he's talking about, what he's saying, he is waiting. So their covenant is not our covenant. They were looking forward to that, but they still had to wait. People say, no, they weren't looking for that. Well, they were waiting for it because without Christ, nobody's going to heaven. Nobody's sins are forgiven without Christ. Amen? So understand that. That's where I differ on some of those guys when they say that. Oh, they weren't looking forward. Well, they were stuck there waiting for Christ to come. I'll put it that way. They weren't getting there without Christ going there. And they weren't getting there until Christ came and died here and was buried and rose again. They weren't going anywhere. If they weren't waiting for that, what were they doing there when heaven was up there? Amen. Pretty simple, isn't it? We are made new by Christ Jesus. So in our covenant, we are brought into fellowship by the blood. Hebrews chapter 9. Turn there. Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. By the way, when somebody calls it the Holy of Holies, it's not really called that in the Scriptures. It's called the holiest of all. Amen? That's what it's called. You know, to call it what the Bible calls it. Amen? That's what we need to all work on. Holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. See, there's their covenant. There were the tables of their covenant. You see that? And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. Their covenant is not our covenant. Amen. Which was the figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. See that? Dead men. Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Once. See? Once. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see that purge your conscience from dead works? That's that dead mind. That's that dead man walking. That's the dead man. Amen? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of a necessity be the death of the testator. See that? For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly thing himself with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true. See, their covenant was only a figure and a shadow of what was to come. Do you understand that? But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth in the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ also once suffered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So he made a covenant with us. They had a covenant, but their covenant was not ours. It's not the same. He says this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. That's being renewed by the Spirit. That's the new covenant. And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 20, 1. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Conscience. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See that? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Sure is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This second covenant is the best of all. We see today that the covenant that Christ made with us is that more excellent one, is that more excellent way that has been showed. It's a miraculous covenant. You see, they have the blood of goats and of sacrificed animals, but we have Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, which speaketh better things. Christ better than Adam. Christ better than Noah. Christ better than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Better than Moses. Christ better and above all. For which of the angels said in any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Their covenant did not have the bloodshed of the sinless Son of God. Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. God marked satisfied, the law fulfilled, no more need for the blood of goats. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, that's Christ saying this, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What does that mean? Well, he went down there and he cleared out paradise and he brought it up to heaven. And he done away with the first covenant and established the second. You see? They waited for this second covenant. They waited for Christ to die and be buried and lead captivity captive so they could be freed, so they could go to heaven, so they could be with God. Their time was over. Their battle was finished. They were safe, but we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They were waiting. If the first covenant was good enough, then there would have been no need for the second one. If the first testament was enough, then he would not have sent the testator to die, and the death that he died as he defeated death and rose from the dead to justify all saints from all time. Their covenant was by the law. Ours is by the grace of Jesus Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Their covenant was a covenant led by the law, not God-given grace. Not like what we have today. Because by the blood of goats and calves, it wouldn't please God, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, one time. They could not enter into the holiest of all, but Christ coming made the way in the covenant. It was a shadow of things to come. Their covenant was nothing more than a shadow of things to come. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. Nope, just once. Once and for all, my friend. Didn't offer it more than, didn't have to. Once was enough. It was finished. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen. For the law, listen to this. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. What is he saying? He's saying that if that was enough, then they wouldn't have to keep coming. But you and I today, we have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. And we don't have to continue. We don't have to continually come to Him for salvation and forgiveness. Now we come to confess our sins and to ask Him to forgive us for our sanctification, our walk with Him. But not so we don't incur the wrath of God. That's already been settled once and for all. He says here, who serve unto the example in Hebrews 8:5, and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So their covenant was not our covenant. It was not the same. They waited. They were waiting. Say, didn't they have to have faith? Well, absolutely they had to have faith. But they had a little bit more mechanics to what they had to do. We look to the sinless Son of God completely and clearly by revealed revelation. Amen? We have it. We're on this side of it. Amen? There are those that will try to teach one side of it. Just the Old Testament. You got a Hebrews Roots movement out there that tries to teach just the Old Testament. And that they're binding men and bringing them under the dominion of the law is what they're doing. You know, I just watched something really good this week about that idol shepherd and how his right eye, remember that, Brother Russ? I think you were telling me about that. You've seen that too, how his right eye is out. Cut out, and he cannot see. He can see the left. He can see the law. He can see the First Testament. But he cannot see the second one because his eye is blotted out, so he can't see it. Just like blindness in part has come to Israel. Why? Because they're blind and they cannot see the New Testament. There's a veil and they cannot see the New Testament as a nation. Now, individually, they can be saved, amen. But as a nation, they're blind and they cannot see the New Testament, the New Covenant. They're the idol shepherd. Their eye is blotted out. And they cannot see the grace. All right, so God says to make no covenant with the world. I'll continue on here. That was just in Scripture. I wanted to lay that down so you understand the two differences of the covenant. God says to make no covenant with the world. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods. That's the real crux of the problem today. God says first to observe. Notice in the Scripture, He says first, observe thou that which I command thee this day. That's what God says first. Now we know He is giving this command to His Old Testament church in the wilderness, but His New Testament church is given the same commands concerning the world. We are told to observe all things that He has commanded us. But herein lies the problem today with God's people. They still do not want to observe His commands. They don't want to obey it to the spirit and the letter of it. They don't want to obey it today. Why? Because it's easier to live in the flesh in our own lives. Just now we see that rise of antinomianism among His people, the total disregard for the moral law of God. It's not enough to just say, listen to me, friend, it's not enough just to say you are a Christian and then ignore what being a Christian is from the Scriptures. Listen, you're not allowed to say, I'm a Christian, but ignore what the Bible says a Christian is. So you can take titles and you can add that title to your name and you can say, this is who I am. I'm a Christian, but you can ignore what the Bible says a Christian is. No, you're not allowed to do that according to the scriptures. Jesus said it. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, ye that work iniquity. Those are some of the most scary words in all the scriptures, I believe. When he looks at those people and he says, I never knew you. Yeah, they believe, that's right, but never repented. They believe, but never followed God. It's not true belief. It's a head belief. There is a belief that rolls around in your head, and there's a belief that affects the heart. If you say you have a belief that affects your head but doesn't change your heart, then guess what you have? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Because if you try to tell me belief doesn't affect your heart, you're in the same position that Pilate was, or Felix was, and those other men were. Almost thou persuadest me, Paul. Thou art mad, Paul. You madman. Much learning doth make thee mad. You know, and that sounds like what I hear today from many people that don't like this book preached straight and the truth to come out straight. Much learning doth make thee mad. You must be crazy. There must be something. That's what mad means. It doesn't mean angry. It means mad like you're insane. There must be something wrong with you because you actually believe this book. Amen. Israel had a covenant of work, a covenant with the law and with works that they must, a covenant of the law. More importantly, the better, easier way to explain that is they had a covenant of law. Ours is a covenant of grace. You understand the difference? It's not that works saved them because they didn't. The Bible's clear about that. But they had a covenant that was based off of the law. Ours is a covenant based off of grace. Now, for God to even provide a covenant, it took grace. Do you understand that? So even the covenant of the law that they had, that was still God's grace. It was still grace. To provide a blood sacrifice was still grace. To offer them that sacrifice that they could get right, it was still grace. But they still waited. I don't want you to get confused and think that I'm trying to say to you that they were saved by works, because they weren't saved by works. They waited for Christ. Works did factor into some of the things they had to do, but it was all by faith. Different, not the same as us. It's not the same. Amen. Because if it was, there was no need for a second covenant. If the first was enough, there was no need for the second. Amen. That makes sense, doesn't it? They were shadows of things to come. They lived in the shadow of things to come. We have the revealed revelation. Amen. The risen Savior. This is where a child of God gets in trouble, though, when we start ignoring and not observing Christ's commands that he gave us. It's the first step to trouble, friend, when you start ignoring clear scripture. The Holy Ghost is the teacher to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. He shall bring all things to your remembrance, the Bible says. But notice, we're told, observe all that I have commanded you. You're under a covenant, too. And he said, observe all that I have commanded you. We are not to make a covenant with the people of the land. Listen very closely. We are not to make a covenant with the people of the land. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, please. I'm going to go, for sake of time, I'm going to get reading. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He also goes on to say in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You are not to make a covenant, just like Israel was not to make a covenant with the land. You and I are not to make a covenant with America or even with this world. You know why I don't pledge allegiance to the flag? Because I'm not making a promise of allegiance or a covenant with America. I already have one with God. I've already made a covenant. He's already made one for me, and He saved my soul, and I've entered into that with Him by the sprinkling of His blood. Why would I make another covenant with the land? Why would I do that? Why would I make a covenant with the land like that and pledge my allegiance? Does it not ring in your ears we would obey God rather than man? We are strangers here, just as they were when they came into the land of Canaan. When you and I got saved, we are strangers and pilgrims here. Too many are proud to be an American. Proud of what? This is a wicked nation. We're the leading exporter of wickedness around the world. Yeah, we don't export goods anymore. We export wickedness. We as Bible believers are Christians first and Americans second. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are to flee from the city of destruction, not to make a covenant with the people of the land. I see in no way how you and I can be at ease in Zion with the sin that is rampant around us. America has decided that she as a nation wants nothing to do with God. Now I believe more descriptively, though, this verse applies to the world. Make no covenant with the world. Make no covenant with them. A covenant is a binding agreement that I bind myself to. It's an agreement that I make with them, that I seal it. I make an agreement with the world. Hebrews 11:14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." That's where we're at, folks. That's where you as children of God are supposed to be at right now. Your citizenship is in heaven and a city prepared for you, a new Jerusalem that will come one day. That's the city. We are being prepared for eternity. That's the work of God in the life of the believer. You're being prepared now. You have eternal life now. You don't get it one day. You have it now. When someone tries to convince you and says, well, that's a future tense, you know, you're going to have eternal life. No, He gives eternal life now. You have it now. This is the new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now we have it. Stop making everything about the future. It's right now you're to live daily. Oh, I made a decision for Christ 20 years ago. Great. Well, does it have any effect on your life now? Amen. When I was 4 years old, I said a prayer. That's wonderful. But has it changed your life any? Are you different? Are you a new creature in Christ? Are you the same old, dirty, rotten, wicked sinner you always were? And dead in trespasses and sins. We are not to make a covenant with the world, because we already have a covenant with God, our mediator, Christ Jesus. We are strangers here, and we should not think it strange when the world hates us. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. What I'm so shocked is that people actually get surprised. Well, what profit is it preaching out there on the street? Because people just get mad at you and they drive by and everything. I mean, all this stuff happens and people get upset with you. And I just think there's a, by the way, I got a video I want to send you guys to watch. Brother Eric Frank did a great video on that. He was talking to a guy, two guys, and they said, well, I'm a Christian, but I believe there's a time and a place for this. And Brother Eric reproved him with the scriptures and did a good job doing it, man. It was a 5-minute clip. I'll show you guys. Great clip. He reproved him completely with that. What's the point? The point is, he said, oh, there's a time and place. What? Why? Why? Because they hate it? So I'm supposed to shut up because it's like that police officer. Well, they don't like what you're doing. So if they don't like what you're doing, you have to leave. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And get it. Here's a newsflash for you. They've always hated it. If they like what you're saying, you're probably not preaching this. You're probably having a little chat or a talk. Because they're supposed to hate it. They're not supposed to like it. Make no covenant with them. Remember, they hate you. They hate what your Savior stands for. Enter no agreement with them. They hate your God. When Christians... You know, I think of Pilgrim's Progress when Christian and Faithful went to Vanity Fair. Remember that? Does anybody remember that? Do you read that? When Christian and Faithful, went to Vanity Fair and they walked through that city of Vanity Fair, and man, I'll tell you what, they were looking for an offense against those guys. Those guys weren't even doing anything wrong. They were just looking for an offense against those guys. And they started poking and pricking and prodding them and messing with them. And finally they got it to where they could take those guys and they could put them in chains and twist their words around and make them say something else. And let me tell you something, friend. That is an attack of the devil when that's done. And I'm going to tell you, when you take the preaching of God's word and you try to twist it around and make it something that it's not, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. But when they went to Vanity Fair, what happened? They weren't agreeing with them. No, sir, we can't agree to disagree with you. We can't even agree with you. No, all this is going to perish, and you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell. You got to flee from this. This is coming. And they said, "What are you saying? We're bad people?" I mean, they just said, "Are you saying we're bad and wicked people?" They just started going over and over and over and over again. Finally, they had those guys in chains. Why? That's what the world does. We can make no agreement with the world. Everything they stand for, we don't stand for. And if you do stand for it, there's something wrong with you. You know, if you'll stand with the world against the saints of God, there's something wrong with you. If you'll rail against the truth just like the lost does, then you might be in that company. You just might be. John 15:19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Hey, it's just as simple as that. Well, I don't understand why people don't like me. I don't understand why people get mad at me. They don't like what I say. Listen to me. If I sat around and worried about what somebody doesn't like what I say, and let it stop me, I wouldn't even got up and preach today. I'm just telling you the truth. Because I get email after email after email after email after email after people that hate me. They hate me. They hate what I say, so they hate me. Jesus said they would hate you, though. So don't, when I say they hate me, I understand it's the message, but they also hate you. Because he said they did. He said they hate you. Right. So they when I read all these emails, I mean, I can't believe all these people that are so mad about Duck Dynasty and every other sermon I preach, but a lot of them. But there's a lot of good ones too, though, that send me. I don't want to make you think that everybody's mad, because there's a lot of. I got one from somebody that I sent it to you, didn't I, Brother Russ? Did you guys catch that? I sent it to you guys about somebody. I sent it to you too, I thought, but about somebody that was actually they started out acting like they were mad, and then they said, "Just kidding. I bet you're getting a lot of this." But they said, we just thank the Lord. She said, my family, we compromised with this, but I listened to your sermon, you're right. And I'm getting that a lot from different, a lot of people are doing that. So, I just try to tell the truth, and I know it's going to upset some people. But we are not, they are going to hate you. The Lord said, make no covenant with them. Make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Make no covenant with the world. As a Christian, you and I cannot make a covenant with the world. The Lord said, take heed lest making a covenant with the world, it become a snare unto you. Isn't that how it works? If you make a binding agreement with the world, it'll become a snare. It's a trap. You know, the world is always trying to get us off the narrow way, isn't it? How was that for Christian and Faithful when they were traveling down that road in Pilgrim's Progress? And they were always on the narrow way, but somebody always wanted to try to get them off that narrow way, didn't they? Always wanted to get them off of it. I mean, they had all kinds of ideas of what you ought to do. Oh, go over here and jump up over this fence and do it this way and do it that way. You'll be just fine. And what did he find himself in? In trouble. Why? Because he left the narrow way. See, that's what the world wants you to do. The world wants you to leave the narrow way. That's why we can't make a covenant with them. We cannot agree with them. We cannot agree with the world. Come, take the broad road. It'll be okay. A little bit of compromise will help you reach others for Christ. Yeah, I seen an interview with Joel Osteen and that sodomite guy named Morgan, I think, is that his name? Anyway, what Piers Morgan, yeah, is that his name? That sodomite English guy that wants to go back to Britain or whatever. Well, he doesn't want to, but I don't care if he does. Anyway, but that guy, he was interviewing Joel Osteen. He said, now would you go to a gay wedding? And Joel Osteen said, no, I'm against homosexuality, but he said, I would go. He goes, I would go. If it was a friend, out of respect, I would go to their wedding. Out of respect for them, as love, I would go. But I disagree with them, but I'd go to their wedding. And he said, it was good, wasn't it? He said that I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not going to condemn you. I just don't agree with you. I hold to the scripture. I'm like, you liar. He goes. So if two gay people were at your church, he goes, oh, we have gay people at our church. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're members. I was like, oh, okay. So if you really believed what you did against homosexuality, gay people wouldn't come to your church. I have straight people that have a hard enough time with this church. All right. So I know gay people aren't going to come here. It's not going to happen. John chapter 2. Make no covenant with the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're to make no covenant with them. They are constantly trying to get the Christian to compromise. Why is it that they always want you to compromise, but they never want to come the way of holiness? But they want you to go into the way of unrighteousness. Do you understand that? There's Christians that are like that too. They want you to make a covenant with them and just agree with their lifestyle. You could say, you know, I'm against it. We're not doing it. But that's not good enough for them. You're bad because you hold to this and you won't compromise with them. If you would just say it's okay, then they'd be fine with it. They want your approval in their sin. Amen. Because they're convicted by your stand. But we're not to bind ourselves with the world. The Bible says, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier. The world would have us to be caught in their snare and bound up and tangled up, whether it's politics, whether it's taxes or money or intoxication of worldly affairs, whatever it is, Hollywood, music, whatever it is, they want you to be ensnared. They want you to be entangled with the world so you can compromise with the world. Now let's move on to speaking. We're almost finished here with this. Now let's move on to speaking. This speaks of worship as well. To make no covenant with them. What did he say to them? He said, break down their altars. Destroy their images. Break down their idols. Break down their groves. Burn down their groves. Destroy them all. Folks, you better understand something. This world is Luciferian. He is the god of this world. And the spirit of Antichrist is rampant. The religion of the world is primarily Luciferianism. Because Satan is the god of this world, and the world led by the devil has a constant desire to see Christian worship mingled with the world. That's why God warned those Israelites, when you go into that land of Canaan, you destroy it all. Because if you don't destroy it, it's going to tangle. You're going to get snared. It's going to snare you. It's going to trap you. You better destroy it. And that's what God is telling you as a Christian, that you better destroy that false worship. And you better teach your children, your family, against that false antichrist worship that is mingled into churches today. You better preach strongly against it. Your kids are going to end up in an emergent church. Amen. Destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves. Have nothing to do with the false worship of the world, because the world has its own Christ. It's called the Antichrist, and the world has its own Christ. It has its own music, the voodoo rock music that wants to integrate into churches today. Hey, your church will be more popular. Just add this in. It's the way of the world. Hey, you might as well do it. Like Joel Osteen said, that I'm just trying to. Yeah, we're very contemporary. We're trying to do that. Yeah, we are very progressive. No, he said progressive. We are very progressive, but not for gay marriage. Whatever. Make no covenant with the world's religion. God forbids it. The world would have its idols brought into the church. Be it a tree. Amen. Mary worship, Masonic symbols. Show the holy from the profane in your life. Teach your family the difference. Teach them about the charismatic movement and the gospel of tongues and the visions and the slain in the spirit, the Masonic order, all the religions of the world. Why we're to make no covenant with it. Why we're not to bind ourselves with them. Our doctrine of God ought to be very clear. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. You need to be clear on who Christ is. He's not some antichrist that's in the world today, the spirit that's in the world today. Not some Superman the world wants. But he's the God of the Bible. He's the one that inspired his word. He's the one who hates sin. Not this Christ that is sold today that's okay with your sin, that's some long-haired hippie that drinks liquor and is okay with drug abuse. Oh, God's okay with you tipping back a few. It's okay. He's not the Christ of the Bible is not the one that saves you from hell, but allows you to live like it here. You know, I had somebody basically say that I wasn't passive enough. I should be more passive. Pretty much is kind of what they're getting at. But, you see, if your understanding of this Christian life is the end of the road in heaven and nothing matters in between, then that's why you're passive. But see, when I wake up every morning, I see it's a war. And I got to have my sword on. Because see, the way you look at the world, you say, oh, you must be scared. No, I just understand what the Bible says. See, I think the world wants to steal my children. I think they want to steal my children's purity. I think some bum punk guy wants to come along and try to take my daughters from me. I think that! I really, really think that. I do. I think it 100%. I think someone wants to come along and try to influence my wife against me. I think the devil wants to send somebody to come along to try to hurt my children or hurt this church and sow tares in the church. I believe that, friend. Why? Because I know it's a war. And I believe it. I believe it because he said it. Watch thou in all things. See, I don't have this passive. I don't have this passive. I can't be passive like that. See, I've watched it. I've played all the bubblegum games for Jesus. Okay? I played the grand prize Bozo the Show game. We've dressed up like clowns and swallowed goldfish and rode on a bus and played the music and played the games and turned the church into a circus. I've been a part of all that. We've turned it into an Amazon rainforest probably and every other thing you could ever imagine. I've been through all that. I've seen that. You know what I've watched? Girls get pregnant. Half-naked girls all over Facebook that go to fundamental Baptist churches. running off, getting pregnant, getting with child, and committing fornication, having babies, and eloping, and getting married. Another way. See, I seen all that. Playing rock music, the devil's music, and living it up, and partying, and drinking, and boozing, and drugging it. You see, I've seen all that. So you go ahead and be passive, and watch the devil come in and steal your family from you. Because that's what's going to happen. So, I'm not going to be somebody else. I'm not going to be a limp-wristed Christian or a limp-wristed man. By the grace of God, I will never be that. You won't break me. I won't be that man. I will never be that man. Only God will break me in the way He wants to. But if you think I'm letting off the gas now, ain't happening. Because there's a war going on. And you're playing patty cake. And you go ahead and be passive all you want to. That's right. And you're going to feed into the Antichrist agenda real well. I'd rather be somewhere where I'm on the firing line. And you know it's you got to be soldiers and you got to fight. That's where I'd rather be. I've had enough of that passive Christianity. I've seen what making a covenant with the world does. Oh, just don't preach on that. Don't make it so hard. Then more people will come in. I've been there. I don't want those people here. I don't want them here. Oh, you're just not very nice. No, I'm very practical. Yeah, it's biblical. See, I understand what will happen if somebody gets into your family. Weasels their way in. And when they weasel their way into the church and they want to whisper and backbite against what the preacher says, I know what that's like. I've seen it. It's sad. It's sad. But it's the world we live in. We're not to make a covenant with this world. We're to be different. We're the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, and we are to be different. We're not to make a covenant with the world. They're not to like what we do. They don't like the fact that we don't go and do and say and do the things that they do. They don't like it, and they shouldn't like it. That's what shows us to be different than them. Because we are under a covenant, and they are lost. They are dead men, and we are men with life. And it ought to be different. I don't follow that Christ that they follow that says that God couldn't write a perfect Bible and deliver it to me. Or the Christ of the Roman Catholic Church that must go through Mary. We take our truths from the words of God's holy word, the King James Bible. We're not left to doubt. We make no covenant with the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Church of Christ, the Duck Dynasty Gospel, or any other garbage that's out there. God is a jealous God, and He will not allow you to misrepresent Him. He will not allow you to pervert who He is. Their God is not our God. Our God is a consuming fire, and He hates sin, and He loves righteousness. But we must be clear on the gospel, the Lord, and the doctrine of Christ, and on the Word of God. Modern perversions seek to make a covenant with the world. If you don't like what the King James Bible says, just write another version, then it'll say what you want it to. Isn't that where we're at today? Isn't that what's really going on? I don't like that fiery preaching. I don't like what that is. Let me find somewhere. Well, listen, friend, I promise you one thing. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you will never find a perfect pastor. I'll be completely... Do I fail? Absolutely. I'll admit it to you. I do. Do I always say the right thing? Nope. I don't. I don't always say the right thing. Now, let's examine your words. Let's put a tape recorder on you and follow you around all day and see how you do. Yeah, and then let's bring it forward. Let's put it on a big screen and let everybody hear it, just like you hear me every week. And see if you make a mistake. Let me ask you, have I chased down your sins? Have I tried to discover some evil in you? Have I tried to approach you and browbeat you about something I believe that you're not doing right? No. See, well said the apostle, he would give grace to others, but none would be given to him. And that's the truth. None would be given to him. Because it's easy to look at somebody that preaches every week in front of you three times a week and find fault in them. If you want to. But there is a difference in if that preacher were to come to you and try to find fault with you. Oh, maybe I don't see any. I suppose if I wanted to be that way, I could magnify mine office like the apostle said, and I could try to get that out, and I could try to do that, but that's not in my heart to do, friend. I love you better if you hate me. That's just the truth. You can't make me hate you. You really can't. But I know this one thing, that we're not to make a covenant with the world and agree with the world. And God's people should know better. And God's people should stand strong against that spirit. We are strangers in this land. We are to look to Him first. If that means that it makes other brethren mad, it will. But we're to obey God rather than man first.